You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what's up? Eddie Pascal, along with Kyle Martin and producer Trev, here on Radio Row in Mobile, Alabama, where we are set up for the 70th annual Reese's Senior Bowl. Like we told you yesterday, we're doing daily pods. So we're back in action, not 24 hours after our first one. So rocking and rolling. So Kyle, a wise man once said, I believe it was Mick Jagger. He said, you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need. And I wanted some good weather today. I wanted to stretch my legs to see everything that beautiful Mobile has to offer, but didn't get it.
Yeah, you. I told you on the pod yesterday that you were a little too hopeful for good weather. I mean, in the forecast, it was windy and rainy, and that's exactly what we got.
Yeah, it is actually windy and rainy. Might be a bit of an understatement. We had torrential downpours. I think that's probably an accurate way to describe it.
Is it acceptable to classify it as a typhoon?
I think so. I mean, I'm no meteorologist, but I'm pretty sure that that's an acceptable term for what we're currently dealing with. And truth be told, honestly, all kidding aside, the weather has honestly been the biggest story of the past 18 hours here. Obviously, day one of the Senior Bowl practice at Ladd People Stadium, where the game will be, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we're back tomorrow. But the weather was so gnarly today that the Senior Bowl said, hey, we can't do it. We're not going to put these guys at risk for thunderstorms, all that kind of stuff. So we moved. We took the show on the road and went to the University of South Alabama.
USA.
USA, baby. And in the spirit of full transparency, a university I did not know existed until about 15 minutes before we arrived at the University of South Alabama.
Yeah, and after doing a little more research, we realized that, I can't remember his first name, Everett from the Los Angeles Rams.
Mm-hmm, their tight end, right?
Is the only draft pick that's been selected from Southern Alabama. But, to be fair, they've also been around since 2009.
Yeah. So? In the infant stages of the program.
Yeah.
Truthfully. But, so they had a kind of pseudo indoor-ish type facility. So, just backing up real quick, obviously, at Ladd People Stadium, it's a full stadium. There's a ton of surface area for people, media, fans, all that to check it out. The mighty Jaguars of USA didn't have that set up, so no media was allowed. Well, limited media, very, very limited media. But since we don't fall into that category, we were in the house, and it was. I'm trying to just kind of think about how I would even describe their setup over there.
Dude, it was like an airport hangar.
Yeah, that's a really good way to describe it, actually.
It was like an airplane hangar. Yeah. It was very open, but it had the size and the space of an airplane hangar, and it didn't really protect from the elements. The rain was still windy.
Certainly not.
Was still getting blown inside the facility, even though it was covered.
Yeah, so for those of you guys at home, it's essentially, like Kyle described it, kind of a big airport hangar type thing, but the sides are open. So you got wind and rain. I was joking with one of our equipment guys. I said, this is like a pretty good way to start a tornado, you know, just in terms of the wind flow and all that kind of stuff. But regardless of the situation, the elements, all that stuff, Coach Gruden and the North Side back to work for practice number 2 of 3 for the week. And I don't know about you, Kyle, but going and watching the little under 2-hour session today, two things really stood out to me. One, looked a lot crisper than yesterday, which I think we were kind of both expecting. Yesterday's practice, you have a lot of bobbled snaps, guys kind of all over the place, which, to be fair, is completely understandable. I mean, you're dealing with...
You're playing with guys you've never met or played with before. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that was kind of par for the course in terms of what we expected to see on the field. But today, much crisper, a little more purpose. I thought everyone looked a little bit more comfortable, a little more kind of at ease with what they were being asked to do, and I think it showed on the field.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I would say that it was a defense-heavy day,
yeah,
for sure.
That was my second observation.
A lot of secondary flying around, a lot of cornerbacks getting interceptions, even a linebacker in the mix, too. His name's eluding me right now, but he's from Arkansas.
Mm.
Had a strong day on the field, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think that even when you were in the span of about, I would say, 5 plays, there was back-to-back plays where there were interceptions from the North Side. It was... let me double check my numerical roster here. But I believe it was Mr. Nasir Adderley had one, Kyle, if I'm not mistaken.
Ah, yes, from Delaware. He's a Philly boy.
Yes, Mr. Nasir Adderley. And then I know I'm going to butcher his name, so I apologize in advance. Mr. Amani Uregarie.
Hailing from where?
Penn State.
Ooh, okay.
Uregarie.
Penn State.
Yeah. But, yeah, back-to-back plays for those guys ended up in interceptions, and then a couple of plays later, a third. So, yeah, like you said, the secondary is flying around, which is coincidence after we mic'd up Derek Ansley yesterday.
I think not.
But, yeah, those guys were crushing it today. Really made things, when we were watching the team period, really kind of hard for the offense to really do much of anything, which obviously you'd like to see them kind of bounce back tomorrow. But, I mean, in terms of that defense as a whole, I mean, they were getting after it today, making life difficult for the offense over there.
Absolutely, and I caught up with Adderley after practice, and I talked to him about what it's been like working under Ansley and getting to know the guys around him a little bit more, and he said it's been pretty easy for the most part. He's comfortable in Paul Gunther's system. He feels comfortable with Coach Derek Ansley. And he said they've got him playing a lot of different positions. They've got him in the nickel, the slot, out wide. I mean, he's doing it all for him, and he feels comfortable doing it, and he really attributes that just to his versatility, being able in college to move around the field, and that speaks to his knowledge, too. If you don't have the knowledge of each position, you're not going to thrive in it. So.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it yesterday in terms of guys stacking good days together, and Mr. Adderley certainly seems to be a guy who's stacking good days. I know it's only 2 days, but, hey, two good days at work is better than the alternative.
Absolutely, and, I mean, yesterday, not to, you know, continue voicing our bias for Oregon, but Jalen Jelks had a nice day today. He had a batted pass, got behind the line of scrimmage a few times. Not that he didn't have a bad day yesterday, but he really came out today strong. Maybe it's because Mario Cristobal.
Yep, in the house. In the house, Cristobal in.
It was good to see you, man. I mean, we're defense needy, and I've been definitely paying more attention to the defensive guys. So.
Yeah, I think I have too. I mean, obviously, holes to fill on both sides of the roster. But I think defensively, yeah, I mean, you look at the offense, I mean, the cupboards are not bare, right? Now, do you want to get better across the board at every position? Absolutely. Do you want a couple more linemen? Yeah. Do you need a running back? Yeah, likely. Would you like to have a stud wide receiver to join that group? Yeah, of course you do. But I think you look at that defense and you're like, you know, the help is, you know, you need some help. You need some help. And so I think I've been kind of like you, where I've been looking at the defenders a lot over the past couple of days, and it's probably going to continue tomorrow too.
Yeah, and I look forward to hearing from Paul Gunther later this evening about what he's experienced and what it's been like coaching the guys so far. I mean, he's got a lot of young minds to mold, and we'll see what he says later today.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, just in terms of this draft class and, you know, the guys who are in it, we talked to Todd McShay briefly after practice, and he was saying, look, it's not a secret. The Raiders need help at the pass rush position, all of them. They got to find a way in 2019 to get after the quarterback more effectively than they did last year. And that's no secret, right? That's not, you know, him breaking any type of news. But he said, the good news for the Raiders is they need pass rushers. This draft class, heavy, 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 heavy with pass rushers.
I'm curious. I don't know. Did you get to ask McShay about Mike Mayock at all?
I didn't. We had him for about, I don't know, what would you say, producer Trev? Less than a minute. I mean,
it was just
like
45 seconds.
Yeah, we just got in, we got out. He's a busy man. He's got a lot of things to do. Wearing a great outfit, looking strong out here in the winds and the rain. But yeah, we just, I kind of want to just pick his mind about, you know, obviously 3 picks in the top 30.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of collateral. That's a lot of,
you're flexible.
Can do a lot. You can do a lot with that.
I mean, that's been what John's been saying yesterday. Somebody asked him whether the idea of trading up or down in the draft is out of the question. He goes, we traded a lot last year. Who's to say we won't do that again this year? He's not ruling any possibilities out. And where the Raiders sit right now at number 4, 24, and 27, those aren't the worst picks in the world. I know 24 and 27 are further in the first round, but near each other that late, I mean, you can still swoop a ton of really, really talented kids across the board.
Yeah, I mean, maybe someone in the second round wants to get back into the first.
Yep.
You know, maybe
that
there's
a lot.
You know, maybe there's a, you know, a team who wants to move up to block someone. I mean, there's those. I mean, 4, obviously, you're gonna get a stud at 4. You know that. You know that going into the draft, you know you're gonna get a stud at 4. 24 and 27 intrigue me almost more than what we're gonna do at 4.
Yeah, I mean, I actually I was fooling around on Twitter a little bit earlier today, and you know how you and I have talked about Montez Sweat, defensive end from Mississippi State.
Who Todd McShay said was the best pass rusher here in Mobile this week.
Yeah, he's been highly touted. A lot of scouts have tried to talk to him, and I saw a tweet from Matt Miller, Bleacher Report's draft scout guy, and he's talked about how originally Montez Sweat was projected as like a mid-20s kind of guy, and now just after coming to the Senior Bowl, he's elevated his draft stock so much that now he's considered a top 10 guy. And that just goes to show what being here at the Senior Bowl does for your draft stock. I mean, getting that foot in the door with the coaching staff ahead of time, that's only going to pay dividends for you. It'd be like if you had the upper hand on a job interview, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like you want to get as much face time with these scouts and coaches as you can, and he's doing that. So I think it's been interesting to see how, as the week has progressed, more and more people have gained traction.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no bums here.
No.
You know, there are no bums on these rosters. These are all quality football players. And I think you brought up an interesting point just in terms of guys who are here in Mobile for the week, whether it's on the north side or the north team, coached by Gruden and his guys, or on the south team, coached by Kyle Shanahan and the Niners. That, to have this kind of extended look from a coaching staff, I mean, it's very plausible that guys, that coaches are going to be like, look, they fall in love with a guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you see him in the meetings room, you see him out of the meeting room, you see him on the field, you see him how he carries himself, how he relates with his teammates. Is he a leader? Montez Sweat's a perfect example where you say, it's the guy who's helped his draft stock immensely. I don't think he's going to be the only guy here that we say that about.
No, and I think it's interesting, too, because you look back last year at Baker Mayfield, right, and he was being regarded as one of the top quarterbacks in this draft, or the 2018 draft, mm-hmm. I should say. And whether or not you're projected as a top pick in the draft, Baker didn't even play that. He played, what, one drive, maybe like three or four snaps last year at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah.
So it's not as much about you playing. They've seen your tape. It's about the sit-downs, the interviews.
Yeah, it's all about the intangible type stuff.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
You can't take that for granted.
No, not at all. I mean, I think that what's interesting, at least in our couple of days here, is seeing that and hearing from the coaches how that is really – kind of is the ultimate value, right? Where you bring up a great point where it's, look, we know what these guys can do on tape. Obviously, is it a lot different seeing them do it in person, seeing them do it, you know, like you said, with guys that they don't know very well, kind of thrown into a playbook for a week? Yeah, absolutely. Can you learn a lot about a guy in that week on the field? Absolutely you can. But to learn about a guy as a person, we were talking about, is he a leader? Do his teammates like him? Do his teammates respect him? Is this a guy that can rally a defense, an offense? Can he carry a special teams unit? I mean, I think that's really where the true value lies for this event, especially as far as the coaches are concerned.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think last year, you know, with all the additions of the veterans that Gruden signed in the offseason, there were leaders on that team for sure. But, I mean, you need to have young guys that want to be leaders, that are going to get groomed to be leaders. And if you can establish that here and you can show coaching staffs, even at a young age, that you're ready to take that leap, that's major bonus points for you.
Yeah, oh, 100%. 100%. Real quick before we move on, though, I got to give just a little bit of love to my man Rich Bisaccia.
Yeah.
He was on one today.
He was. He is every day, man. He's electric. He does not take days off.
No days off. He was fired up. Loves teams. Loves special teams. And, man, he was, I think, my funniest moment of the day. I wouldn't say funniest, but the one that made me smile the biggest is during one of the special teams periods. And Coach Bisaccia is just fired up, you know, bringing the energy like he does every day. And he's throwing the bad snaps to the holder, to hold for the place kicker. And, man, you just see the passion. It made me smile. It really did. Brought a smile to my eye and some warmth to my heart.
I was watching that drill with you, too, and it was just the proximity and how close he was to this placeholder, the snaps. He was giving him everything. And
yeah.
I mean, each toss, there was a velocity behind it.
Yeah,
sometimes we're loose.
A short hop.
A little lackadaisical.
A little
yeah.
high, a little low, a little out wide.
I mean, you got to be prepared for any situation.
Coach Bisaccia leaves no stone unturned.
No.
And what do I tell you, Kyle? What do the best teams, what do the elite teams in the NFL, what do they all have across the board?
Good special teams.
Dominant special teams play. You got to have it. In playoff football, you have to have dominant special teams play.
I mean, we heard Gruden say time and time again last year, you got to flip the field. And
we're
not flipping the field.
You got to.
Yeah. So
the game within the game of field position is something that it gets me
it's
going.
It's like a chess match.
Oh, dude, I love it,
There's
man.
There's so much that goes into it that people don't appreciate.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's great, man. It really is. It's the – we were talking about it yesterday. The two people that never get enough credit are the big fellas and the special teamers.
Yeah, the offensive and defensive – defensive linemen for
All
sure.
All right, yeah, but I'm talking like the big boy, big fellas in the middle. Like Big Jelly. Big Jelly never gets enough credit.
Yeah, you never hear about nose tackles being the main guy on a poster.
They but should be, though.
They should. Maybe Vince Wilfork. I guess
yeah,
he's had enough love.
Yeah, Wilfork's a great one.
He's the exception.
Yeah, he's the exception to the rule. I think when I become a father, whenever that is, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now, I'm going to instill in my children to respect special teams and the play of the trenches. That's my goal as a father.
Just respect the big man.
Respect him. Respect those dancing bears. You gotta.
Didn't see a lot of dancing from Greg.
No, not a lot of dancing from old Greg.
No.
Tomorrow's okay, a new day, though.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's a new day. I mean, the man was, Greg Gaines was dancing heavy yesterday.
He was. You mean he's a stocky fella?
Yeah, he is. He is. He's a thick boy. All right. So, in addition, like just like yesterday, we spent a little time with one of our coaches post-practice. Trev, we can tease the mic'd up, right? Is that okay, Producer Trev?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So yesterday, obviously, we mic'd up Derek Ansley. Today, we mic'd up Jamal Singleton. I'm feeling pretty good about that mic'd up too, Travie. How are you feeling about that one?
Great stuff coming down the pipe here.
Powerful stuff. That's a tease right there. But after he did his mic'd up segment, we took advantage of our time with him, and we asked him a couple questions, and I said, Coach, it's windy and raining, but through 2 days now, oh, we literally just saw some lightning here in the convention center. How about that? Anyways, because of the bad weather, that's actually a nice little segue. Because of the bad weather, we were inside, and I said, Coach, through two days of Senior Bowl practice, what's really stood out about your guys?
You know, it's been pretty good watching the guys work. You know, I told them here just after practice, we wanted to get better today than we were yesterday. And I think a lot of the guys did that. Saw a little bit more juice. They're starting to feel a little bit more comfortable with what we've installed. So we actually got to see some guys make some plays today. So that was a lot of fun.
I think when you look at the group back in Oakland, it's a group that a little bit of everything, right? Where some guys are power backs, you got the scat backs. When you look at this group, are they a complete group, or are they all kind of built in the same mold a little bit?
You know, it's different. With the Raiders, we do have that. You got Jalen Richard running his routes. You have Marshawn Lynch with his physicality, and Doug Martin with his slashing ability, and you know, our fullback Keith Smith. So we got a unique blend in this group, but I wouldn't say as diverse as the group we have in Oakland. So they're really all good, really, at first and second down working. Thing they need to work is their third down stuff as receivers out of the backfield. That's probably the one thing that they probably lack just a little bit.
So obviously you're here for the week, and you get the benefit of coaching this this group is incredible. Right? Coach Gruden's talked about it a ton, but as far as the off-the-field stuff goes, what's the benefit for you to see these guys in the classroom and kind of learn a little bit more about them as guys, not just football players?
You know, that's such a huge part of the whole process, to be able to get in the room with the guys, hang out, and then sometimes just at meals, having lunch, socializing, those type of things. You really get a feel of how would they handle the room, how would they respond in the room, and would they be a good fit for your organization? So it's definitely, leaps and bounds, a great opportunity to come and work these guys, and more importantly, get to know who they are as people.
So obviously such a unique experience being down here in Mobile. But as a coach, is it a challenge to make sure that all these guys get to eat, that all these guys are getting enough run?
Well, not so much for us. I mean, just we got four guys, three tailbacks and one fullback. So just the natural rotation of practice schedules is going to give each one of them an opportunity. And because we isolate some of the drills with one-on-one capabilities and that type of stuff, it really gives them a chance to showcase who they are. It's like I told them, they are who they put on tape. Make sure they're putting good stuff on.
So we got one more practice tomorrow and then the game later this weekend. What do you really want to see from these guys over the next 72 hours?
No, I just want to see them compete. You know, I want to see them put their best foot forward. And I think that's part of my role down here as a coach is, you know, not just to spend the time evaluating who they are as players, but help them. Help them get better. Help them learn some things this week that maybe they haven't learned in the past that they may be able to use on Saturday to help themselves in the whole NFL draft. I mean, that's a dream all these guys have. If I can play a little role in helping them get to that, it's a pretty awesome deal.
You know, we haven't caught up with you since the season ended, and obviously an up and down season, right? And the results just weren't there, but when you look back on your first season as a Raider, how would you kind of characterize it?
Different. It's just one of those things when you never really know what to expect and how things are going to go, and just handling the adversity that we went through. You know, Marshawn goes down. You know, one thing I did learn from my room is we really tried to keep moving forward. We lost one of our key guys, and Doug Martin stepped up, and Jalen Richard picked up his role, so it was good. I really, really liked the room. You know, really the thing that stands out to me the most is the Oakland fans. My gosh, just the things that they've done, preseason showing up. Really, for me, that's something I always remember about my first year here is this fan base is awesome.
You talked about Marshawn going down. As a coach, it must have been incredibly rewarding for you to see guys like Doug and Jalen kind of pick up the slack. And really, that run game towards the end of the season, that thing was humming pretty good.
You know, and you have to. I mean, that's this league. There's going to be something that happens. There's going to be adversity in the room one way or another, and you got to have guys that step up. And I always tell them, you know, take advantage of the opportunity that presents itself. Doesn't matter how it comes about, you just got to take advantage of it when it does. And I think we did a decent job of that. Still got a long way to go, but I liked where we kind of finished up.
Big thank you to Coach Singleton for stealing a couple minutes with us. Very much appreciated. So before we threw to the interview with Coach Singleton, we saw some lightning above us in the hotel here in Mobile where we're set up. Literally 2 seconds ago, as we're running that interview, thunder. Thunder.
AC/DC.
Yeah, man, this weather is not for me, though.
No.
I'm out.
I do enjoy watching a good lightning show, though.
I don't.
Why?
What do you mean, why? I'm not trying to die.
Well, you know, just I'm talking about from the safety of your home.
Oh, if you dude, can open the, I don't know. I'm out.
You don't appreciate nature? You don't think seeing lightning strike is cool?
I'll look at the photos, man. I don't need to see that live.
That's weak. Trav, I know you'll support me on this.
I like watching lightning.
Why? How can you not?
Yeah, it's nature's fireworks.
It's literally a lightning bolt from the sky. Zeus is striking the earth.
There's a big difference. One big difference between you and I, or you two and I. We don't need to get into it, but we all know what it is. I'll leave it at that. On that note, we're out of here. We got a lot of stuff to do this afternoon, so we'll be back tomorrow, our final on-location episode of Upon Further Review. These have been fun, so we got one more coming down the pipeline today. We'll recap everything we saw on the field and our dinner tonight with our friends from the Dallas Cowboys, so I'm sure that'll be a lot of fun. We'll talk about that. We'll get into it, and we'll have a blast. So, for Eddie Pascal, Kyle Martin, producer Trav, engineer Jim, and Coach Singleton, too. How could I forget Coach Singleton and Coach Jamal Singleton as well? We will catch you guys tomorrow on Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.